welcome to Be Frank, the podcast where we dive deep into the mental health struggles of African men that are rarely spoken about. I'm your host, Frank Beecham, and I'm excited to start this journey with you.
Welcome back to another episode of To Be Frank. As always, I'm your host, Frank Beecham. And this is a second, I'll say this is a second episode under our series, the To Be a Man series. Quick recap, last week we learned about or we heard about what how it feels or how men feel when we are told be a man or man up and what this phrase does. Rather than motivate us, it tears us down. And this week we're going to dive deep into the seven misconceptions of African manhood. So if you're ready, like I am, it's time to be frank with each other. So, as we all know, there are so many misconceptions about what it means to be a man. We've had people, you know, like, just rise up and say, man up, are you not a man? And we've always, or we've often wondered what this actually means. Before we proceed with this series and eventually outline our own self-identity as men or African men, it's best to first understand where people are going wrong. And so to do that, I decided to come up with what I call the seven misconceptions of African manhood and how we're going to shatter these myths. So first misconception one, and you've heard me say this a lot since To Be Frank started. It seems to be like the underlying issue, which is men don't cry. It's a tale as old as time, and you know, it suggests that men keep their emotions always locked away. To see your man cry is something that is totally unheard of. And I would like to say this, that even though to see a man cry makes you ask him or makes you tell him be a man or man up, by propagating this or by acting like a man crying is feminine or a man crying is unheard of, we force so many men out there to lock their emotions away to the extent that now the men that do cry, not to say all men that do this are using it for ill-gotten, have ill-minded or ill intentions, but now it's gotten to the point where when a man cries, he weaponizes those tears. So sometimes those tears come out as a form of manipulation or as a way of guilt tripping females or anybody just to get out of situations, as a way of showing extreme remorse. And so when that is done, because it's believed men don't cry and it's not normal, you wouldn't really understand why this man is crying. Hence, you would think it's genuine, but it could be, you know, a form of manipulation. Not to say that so many men don't cry, or not to say that when a man cries, he's trying to manipulate you, but I'm just trying to bring to light awareness that by criminalizing or by stereotyping and stigmatizing men from crying, you give bad people the power to be able to, manipulate or take this struggle that men go through and, you know, use it for evil intentions. Now, men out there, my brothers, who are listening to me, using tears as a way of manipulating and as a way of, you know, getting your way or even seeming like you're genuine but you're actually not genuine is something that takes our fight for mental health and pushes our fight backwards. Sometimes we don't fight with the outside world, we're fighting within ourselves. And sometimes we are our own problems. So to say that, and I say this to say that men, rather than weaponizing tears and using it when it's not meant to be used, why don't we express ourselves? Why don't we express those emotions like we're meant to? Well, we cannot, because society believes that men don't cry. I have personally seen two sides of this coin, so story time. And this is like a real story where I have heard of a relationship where anytime this guy wants this girl to do something, he ends up crying on the phone. He manages to get her on the phone and ends up crying. And that makes her feel bad because she's highly empathetic, and then she does what he wants her to do. Not to say that she doesn't have a mind of her own, or not to say that I am putting people's business out there, but these are real life stories that we realize that it contributes to the conversation. Because if this said individual finds out that, oh, she is being manipulated by this guy and his tears, now any guy that she sees crying, she's not going to see or believe it's genuine. It's a statement that I believe, which is hurt people hurt people. So because men are believed to not cry and we are bottling up all these emotions, now it being weaponized and being used as a form of manipulation tactic now hurts the women. And these women who are hurt now meet a guy who is emotionally vulnerable but do not believe his emotional vulnerability, hence he's also hurt. And I always go to say this, everything starts from somewhere. If men were not allowed to express their emotions as boys, as kids, as children, they will grow up thinking that the only way to express their emotions, the only way to shed tears, is to get what they want. It's quite similar to us men or people accusing women of using their bodies to get what they want. It's also men weaponizing emotional vulnerability to get what they want, which is not right. So it leads to a deadly cycle of hurt people hurt people who hurt people. It's time to break that chain. It's time to create an awareness that men do cry. I cry. I know my dad cries. I know my brothers cry. I know my friends cry. But do we express this? Do we show this? No, because when we do this, we are being told that we are not men enough or we are not man enough. Second misconception that lies out there is men must provide at all costs. Gosh, this is the biggest misconception that's out there that is really seeped into the identity of men. This misconception has caused so many men to want to, you know, go the distance or to want to even resort to illegal means just to provide for their families. This places unrealistic pressure on men to be the bread, or not just to be the breadwinners, but to be the sole breadwinners. And it's often at the expense of their mental health. I ran a poll, or I ran a send it on my Snapchat. And if you're not on my Snapchat, go follow To Be Frank 2024 and our podcast at To Be Frank Podcast _, where you can join in on those conversations. So what did the send it say? I was basically asking, what's a misconception about mental health you wish more people understood? And I had this feedback more than once, which is, just because there's good days doesn't mean we're cured, quote unquote. And that's just to say that, just because you see someone living life or, you know, posting pictures of themselves in Hawaii, Las Vegas, you see them on a first class seat, you see them in a private jet, you think, or they're basically providing for their family, you think that they're cured, or you think that they're not struggling with mental health, or you think they're not suffering. This is a misconception that has led to the detriment of so many people, not just men, so many people, because so many people think that when you have it good, that's it. When you have it good, you don't struggle with anything. And in Africa, this is a huge misconception. But that will be a third point to really tackle going in depth. On the front of on the point of providing or provision, you have men who have made so much money, but are not okay, but they're not happy. You see them living in 7-bedroom houses, driving all the cars that you want, but deep down, they are not happy. I remember that I used to chase something like that. And not to say that I don't feel that pressure sometimes as a man, I do. But I remember one time I basically had everything I had set out as a goal to achieve, and I had achieved them, but what was the point? I was not happy. I was surrounded by so many people, but I still felt alone. Hence why there are some men out there who then resort to, you know, drinking, smoking, women, like just terrible things, just so that they can fill in the gap that they've been filling. They're filling the gap that they've just been feeling on the inside. So here goes to beg the question. Why is the role of provision solely on the man? Religion enthusiasts will tell you that, well, it's in the Bible. The man is the head of the family. If the man doesn't provide, then is he really a man? Well, for the Christians that would say this, I have a question to also ask you, or the Christian females that would say this, I have a question to also ask you, that as a Proverbs 31 woman, if you deem yourself so, why can't you also take what the man has and multiply it? Because, and I'm not putting pressure on women. That's a whole different conversation. Because again, women also have that pressure to always reproduce or to, you know, do something exceedingly and abundantly. But no, we're talking about the women out here who are stereotyping their men, stigmatizing their men just because they are not able to pay their children's school fees, just because they're not able to pay the rent, just because they haven't landed a job in a couple of months, just because they can't pay for dates like their girlfriend's friends see, just because they can't do things, or let's say maybe in the past they had it good, but they cannot give their girlfriends or their wives the lifestyle that they used to give them, just because now the economy has taken a turn for the worse. And now they come to them and ask them, are you not a man? Why? Look at your other fellow men out there. What are you doing? This causes so many men to compare themselves to their friends, and it starts to breed a feeling of jealousy, hatred, anger, self-deprecation, and leads to self-destruction. This misconception is one that has damaged the mental health of so many men. The third mental health, or the third, I would say, misconception is men don't need help. The third misconception I'd like to talk about right now, this third one, is men don't need help. This is a myth that suggests that seeking help undermines who we are as men. So if you ask for help, it means you're not man enough, or you're not a smart man. I don't know how many of us have seen in the movies or have even heard that men don't ask for directions. They have to figure it out on their own. That's just because it's been ingrained to not ask for help and to figure things out on their own. The fourth one is real men are always strong. This makes me laugh because this is a false notion that projects physical and emotional invulnerability as male traits. It goes to show that if you're a real man, you have to be strong. You have to be strong emotionally. You have to be strong physically. Now, the question I always ask is, what is the definition of strength in this situation? Because if you ask me, in my opinion, it takes someone who is strong to be able to acknowledge their weaknesses. I repeat, it takes a strong man or it takes a strong person to acknowledge and accept their weaknesses. There is strength in understanding and knowing where you fall short at and asking for help. Now, these last three that I'm going to mention might sound slightly controversial, but it is what it is. The next one or the next misconception out there that so many African men have in their minds is men control women. So in an African society, not just African men having their minds, in an African society, if you are a man, and this is a very dangerous misconception, because if you are a man and then your woman can talk to you or can tell you she does not want to do something or doesn't submit herself to you, especially in the public eye, and you cannot assert dominance over your woman, it means that you have failed as a man. It means that you know, I was reading an article as well in preparing for this podcast, and I found it very interesting, the headline of this article, which said, single father households do vastly better than single mother. And here's the real reason why. I don't know how accurate this is, but I have to say that some of the statistics in there were a bit repetitive in the other research that I did. And it showed that studies show that children that come from single mother households are 5 times more likely to commit suicide than children from both unbroken households and single father households. They are also 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 14 times more likely to commit unspoken sexual acts, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and 32 times more likely to run away from home. This does not just go to say that, oh, single mothers are failing, single mothers are not doing as good as single fathers, because I'm sure if you also look at that research, also there. But I say this to say that there are pros and cons on both fronts. There's a damage from having a broken home, there's a damage from just being a single dad, and there's also a damage from being a single mom. And so I say this to say that single fathers are also successful at raising kids. So dads, do not think that your only job at home, do not buy into the misconception that your only job at home is to provide financially and then that is it. You also serve the emotional needs of your children. You also serve the spiritual needs of your children. You also serve the social needs of your children. How you relate with your mother, how you relate with them, it's something that they need. The way you discipline them is the way that they also grow. And so children that come from stable households tend to have a better mental health compared to people who come from broken homes. And so let's not say men are in domestic, because this has caused so many good men to lose their children in custody cases in courts just because maybe the mother is no more and people in the family deem him unfit to take care of his kids. This misconception has caused so many men to think that they can't cook or clean, they can't do anything by themselves. But that is wrong to push out there. That's a misconception that should not be bought into. The last but not the least is men must always want sex. PG, men must always want sex. This is a myth, I must say, that male identity is tied to constant sexual readiness and desire. So many men are out there who have emotional needs, but they've been told, or even women in society has been told, that men must always want sex. So now it puts an unrealistic pressure on the man who is not as sexually active, or who even suffers from an issue like erectile dysfunction. And I was reading some stuff and I realized that, do you know that men who suffer from erectile dysfunction feel that they are less of men. They cannot be defined as men. And this also goes to their partners. So women, I'm also talking to you as well in this podcast, because a study highlighted that 69% of men with erectile dysfunction described it as a problem, but 74% of women with a male partner who has erectile dysfunction stated that it was a problem. Look at the difference in this. The men described it as a problem, that it looks like a problem, but I don't personally feel it's a problem. I think there's something that can be done about it. But the women say, boom, no, point blank period, it's a problem. And this has caused so many men, which is 75% of men who considered their erectile dysfunction to be an issue, reported sexual dissatisfaction, compared to 82% of female partners who were with men with erectile dysfunction. So 82% of women with men with erectile dysfunction also reported, you know, sexual dissatisfaction and whatnot. And I say this to say that sometimes, and this is not a sex talk podcast, but just to point it out there, that thinking that men must always want sex also puts into a man's mind that he has to always want sex, which in this study that I was reading, there was one young individual named Ben, and based on Ben's story, I quote that he said, many will speak or joke about their sex lives as if nothing was amiss, but while the societal expectation that men are supposed to always want sex, when you don't live up to that code, and this is what he says, you're excluded from the men's club, which often worsens the problem for the individual. However, surprisingly, Ben disclosed that his erectile dysfunction to those around him. When he disclosed it, they were very understanding. So if you're a man and you're struggling in bed, don't shy from it. Because just like Ben, when he spoke up, he realized that everybody around him was understanding. And times are changing, man. We got to speak up. Because while I was reading this, I noticed that some, you know, bad sexual practices or some erectile dysfunction was caused by anxiety, because men feel like they're supposed to overperform and do not know how they underperform. But understand that this is biology. We are different people. Do not put this pressure on yourself. I also go on to say this fact that so many men have been shut up with sex, because once a man starts to feel something emotional, rather than have it spoken about, his significant other pushes him or says, you know what, let me make it up to you, we're doing something sexual, rather than saying, hey babe, I know I did XYZ wrong, let's sit down, let's talk about it, tell me how you feel. Men are always made to feel, quote unquote, better when they're given, you know, sexual pleasure, But that's the thing. That's a huge misconception that if you're a man, you have to always want sex. No, because pushing this misconception is also dangerous, because then if a man is out there who's not getting sex and cannot contribute to the conversation with his friends, that's what leads some of them to do the unspeakable acts like roofing and whatnot and pushing rape culture and all of that. It's wrong to push onto men that men always have to want sex. No. Sometimes sex does not mean intimacy. Sometimes talking, hugging, crying, men, that's intimacy. Women, that's intimacy. Share that non-sexual intimacy with your partner, and do not define his manhood by how long he lasts in bed, or do not define his manhood with how his physical anatomy structure looks like. Because by doing so, you diminish his self-esteem, and hence he will underperform. And so, pro tip, a man will overperform if, and this is what I read online, if he is confident and has high self-esteem. Make your king feel like a king, and help him if he has, you know, issues with performance or issues with, you know, being over-sexual or being a nympho or a nymphomaniac. But to cut it all short, what are the paths to liberation? How do we get rid of this misconception? Number one is pushing an open dialogue. It's something I always preach, that cultivating spaces where men can express vulnerability and seek support without fear helps a lot. Number two, promoting comprehensive education by reworking our understanding of what masculinity is to include emotional intelligence, empathy, and shared responsibilities in all aspects of life helps a lot of men. And three, let's build supportive communities. It's not only women who destroy the mental health of men. It's not all women who destroy the mental health of men. Men, sometimes we destroy our own mental health together by teasing each other, by breaking each other down, by not having a fraternity of brothers who motivate and who are there to say, hey, I got you. I understand what you're going through. I've been there and I'm here for you. So let's stop saying or thinking that it's rather the opposite sex that keeps pushing us, or is the economy that keeps destroying us. All these things come together, but by building a supportive community, we can stand strong together. And we have to encourage men to come together and share their experiences and offer each other understanding and support. And let's challenge the norms together and embrace a new narrative of manhood together. So what do we say here on To Be Frank? We have shattered these seven misconceptions, and not to say that there are not more, but we've also journeyed through the fog of these fallacies, and we've seen a new definition of masculinity, and this is one that celebrates emotional expression and mutual support and strength in vulnerability. If you feel like you need a community as well, there is a page on Snapchat, which is called Health Geeks by Gianna Ayala. Gianna's birthday is today, so happy birthday, Gianna. Gianna has a community on Snapchat, which inspires people to post about their day. She inspires people to journal, go on walks, things that boost their mental health. So if you're looking for a community as well, come on board and text me at tobefrank2024 on Snapchat, or tobefrankpodcast_ on Instagram, and I will connect you to these resources. Like I mentioned, we are still on the Active April Challenge, so hop on, let me know how you're doing. And until next time, I want to say that thank you for joining me on our series, To Be a Man. Let's carry forward the courage to question, the strength to change, and the compassion to support one another in our truest forms. Let's continue to be frank. Thank you.
Thank you.